On May 25th, 1963, the African Union, then called the Organization of African Unity, was born. Since then, May 25th has been a special day on the African calendar. Tomorrow, leaders from around the continent and around the world are gathering in Addis Ababa to celebrate the African Union's Golden Jubilee. Founded by visionary leaders like Ghana's Kwame Nkrumah, the Organization of African Unity started with 32 signatory countries. Today, the African Union has 54 member countries. The OAU's main aims were to promote unity and solidarity among member states. A key part of this was fighting all forms of colonialism on the continent. Most believe that fight was won in 1994 with the end of apartheid in South Africa. Most believe that fight was won in 1994 with the end of apartheid in South Africa. In 2002, the OAU disbanded and reformed as the African Union, led by its then chairperson, President Thabo Mbeki of South Africa. With the new name came a reprioritization of the institution's goals, including promoting stability, security, good governance, and economic cohesion and cooperation. Yes, the AU had as much success addressing these issues as the OAU had fighting colonialism and minority rule. Some analysts say significant progress has been made by the AU on the security and governance fronts, but most agree that major challenges still remain, particularly poverty and economic inequality. These lingering problems led in January this year to the United Nations Economic Commission for Africa, UNECA, the African Commission, and the African Development Bank to start developing a new blueprint for Africa, Vision 2063, looking at East Asia as a model to improve the lives of its people over the next 50 years. Here is UNECA Executive Secretary Carlos Lopez.
I want an Africa that is going to be among the stars. And I don't think it is a dream to think that, because if you look into the age component of the world population, you are going to have a very aged population in most developed countries of today, and they will not be able even to survive without the energy, the strength, the force that is going to come from the younger continent, and a continent that will be really the last frontier for development. There is no reason why, you know, Southeast Asia in 30 years turn around completely their fortunes, and that, you know, Africa cannot do the same.
Mr. Lopez says that to implement any vision, the continent needs to ensure good governance, though cautions that better leadership alone will not bring progress.
But make no mistake, it's not just about elections, democratic dispensation. It's much more sophisticated than that. It's about actually having planning capacities, about having a vision, a development approach that takes into account the need for quality information, managerial capacity, and so on. So Africans now realize there is no silver bullet. And it's not because you do elections that you have solved your development challenges. It has to be a whole package.
Lopez is optimistic about Africa's future, saying Africans' self-confidence is on the rise. Plus, he says other countries are coming to realize that Africa has much more potential than many realized. Besides, says Lopez, over the coming 50 years, demographics and other factors will boost Africa's competitiveness globally.
I see an Africa in 50 years that is completely different from what we have today. First, are much more urbanized. Second, much more younger than it is right now, with big megalopolis that need to be managed properly, with the largest workforce in the world. I see an Africa also that is extremely well connected.
While Lopez is optimistic about what the AU can deliver to the continent over the next 50 years, not everyone is. Among the critics is Moletsi Mbeki, author, economist, and brother of former South African President Thabo Mbeki. Mr. Mbeki says the AU has largely failed to deliver the continent from poverty, disease, and conflict because most of its goals and ambitions were modeled on the European Union.
The African Union has set itself bigger ambitions, but a lot of its ambitions, in my view, were copied from the European Union. So like all copies, it's not that easy to achieve things that you are copying from other people instead of creating your own objectives.
Mbeki says the current crop of African leaders has failed and blast programs touted by the AU and its partners as wish lists, not programs that can be realistically implemented.
The African Union has lots of programs, like the African Peer Review Mechanism, NAPAD, and all the rest of it. But personally, I haven't seen much action in terms of results, at least for the first 50 years, I can say. I saw the action, which was supplying arms to liberation movements, providing bases for them, providing training facilities for them, and helping them to defeat colonialism.
What's the view of the AU closer to home? Takura Shangasha is a young Zimbabwean Pan-Africanist. He applauds the OAU's founding fathers for liberating the continent from colonial rule, but says the current leadership is failing.
These were and are very historical organizations that are patently important for the development of the African continent. Agreed they had mistakes and flaws, agreed there were challenges over and about anti-colonialism and liberation, as well as the now new version of the OAU, which is the African Union, such as, you know, the United Nations Liberal Intervention over and above African Union resolution. But the work has been done. It can only be improved on. And it is upon Africans, it is up to Africans, African leaders, to ensure that the values, principles and objectives of the OAU originally and the AU now are met democratically and in a people-centered fashion. But when you look at the contemporary leadership, what they have failed to understand is the need to remain principled and focused on people-centered politics and policies and to guard against the easy cooptation into fraternizement and leadership by proxy.
What do Zimbabwe's leaders think? Zimbabwe's Deputy Prime Minister Arthur Mtambara is a leading advocate for a united Africa. However, he says the AU needs serious reforms to realize the dreams of the OAU's founding fathers.
Africa has so much potential. Africa can do a lot, but we are wallowing in poverty. We are suffering from underdevelopment. What is the problem? So we're identifying the constraints, the strategic constraints, the strategic bottlenecks that we have in Africa so that we can deliver on Africa's promise, emphasizing matters of regional integration, emphasizing matters of beneficiation, emphasizing matters of good governance, emphasizing the need to be masters of our own destiny. We can't depend on aid from foreigners. Why don't we mobilize our own resources, our oil, our diamond, our gold, our people, our agriculture, our manufacturing? The motivation is to say, what do we have to do to deliver on Africa's promise?
Mr. Mtambara said he thinks more economic alliances regionally can help.
Let us collectivize our natural resources. Let's say a diamond cluster involving Botswana, Angola, Zimbabwe, and Namibia. That could be a massive cluster which can then drive beneficiation and value addition in diamonds. We say platinum cluster, South Africa and Zimbabwe. That will dominate the world because 90% of platinum in the world is in those two countries. Then we say an oil cluster, Nigeria, Niger, and Ghana. They come together as a petroleum cluster. So we're emphasizing regional integration. We're emphasizing collectivizing African natural resources and working together as regions so we can drive continental prosperity.
For all the hope and potential, however, at least one outside observer has doubts. Professor Stephen Chan with the School of Oriental and African Studies, SOAS, in London, says African unity in particular is a distant prospect.
I don't think, not in our lifetimes anyway, there's going to be unity. I mean, there are 54 different countries in Africa, and they all have their own agendas. There's not even going to be, in the near future, the kind of union that you've got in Europe, because there's just not enough to bring together to integrate. That can only happen at a very, very much later stage of development. And even the European Union has taken decades to bring together its current 27 members. So bringing together 54 is not going to work overnight.
Mr. Chan says he doubts an older African leadership has the energy and dynamism to bring positive change to the continent. He also questions how realistic it is to model African development on what transpired in Asia.
A whole different set of impulses on the Asian side of the world that has made rapid progress. The West very deliberately tries to prevent Africa from getting too industrialized. It actually sets a limit to modernity. When you look at the Millennium Development Goals, for instance, there's actually nothing there about helping Africa to industrialize. Now, as long as Africa is just a producer of raw, unprocessed, unindustrialized materials, as long as Africa can't add its own manufacture to its own products, it's never going to be like Asia.
What is in store for the African continent and the AU in particular over the next 50 years is clearly debatable. But what cannot be challenged is that tomorrow, at least Africans and people around the world will celebrate this venerable African institution. Reporting for the VOA in Washington, I'm Sandra Nyaira. What is in store for the African continent and the AU in particular over the next 50 years is clearly debatable. But what cannot be challenged is that tomorrow, at least Africans and people around the world will celebrate this venerable African institution. Reporting for the VOA in Washington, D.C., I'm Sandra Nyairam.